how are you people communicating with the Department of Forestry? And it has a major, to me, it has a major impact, at, sure. especially at the developed levels and the lower levels, and not just there, it's anywhere that a private owner's got to clear his land or he has some real liability exposure, yet it's the same vegetation that the deer need in order to survive.
Right, and you know, human development in Winter Range, whether it's Josephine County or Jackson County, it brings a lot of issues with it, and that's just one of the many things we do as people that can have an impact. You know, our agency's stance is we're not getting in the way of people clearing their property within what the law dictates to protect their homes from forest fire. So
this isn't just the protection of the homes. This is up in any resource lands as well where there aren't any homes because they're required to maintain that to keep that foliage, that wildfire from spreading, because if it does spread through their land and they haven't taken care of it, then they've got a $10,000 fine or whatever that fine is.
I disagree with that. I don't think I'm wrong, but my understanding is you're only required to cover a small area around your house, and for some reason they're giving people grants to cover their whole property at $400 an acre, but you don't have to do it.
Yeah.
That's my understanding is that what the law requires is fairly minimal protection around your house, your access ways, things like
but
that.
But not just that, it's also that it can't spread from your neighbor's place. You have to be.
If it spreads to your neighbor's place, the area you have to clear and you didn't clear it, you can get in trouble.
Yeah. That's my point. And a lot of that is the vegetation that these same animals need in the winter months.
Right, but if you clear typically 50 or 100 feet around your house, if the fire spreads through your land, no matter what you got on the rest of your land, you're not responsible.
That's what I've understood.
That's going to be that'll be an issue in court. But anyway, I was just concerned that there's, and it isn't just in the developed lands, I don't think. Robin has a question. Jacqueline, we're going to need to wind it up here.
Okay, I was just going to ask, why you just look at the black-tailed deer. Is that just because it's the most prevalent deer in Josephine County?
Well, actually, it's the only deer in Josephine County. That's a good question, though.
There are white-tailed.
There's some, I guess. At any rate, there's a majority. The white-tailed deer are primarily up in the Roseburg area, the Columbia.
Question here, Gordon.
I understand the difficulty of trying to trap deer and extrapolate from a small sample and everything like that. That's one half of the equation. The other half that I'm interested in is once you determine the difference between migratory and resident deer and the needs and so on, at what point in time and on what basis was the determination made of how much land deer need, the migratory deer need? I mean, I realize that everybody has to admit that it's kind of an arbitrary thing. Nobody knows that this deer needs 20 acres or 40 acres or whatever. But it has a real-world impact when we're trying to sit and say, what is a realistic line to draw in an area and say, we need to reserve this much open space for these migratory deer, whether it's 20% of the deer or whatever. But the other side of it is, what is it that a deer needs? Does a deer need 10 acres? Does it need 20 acres? Does it need 100 acres? What is the basis in research or studies that have been done in the past to try and answer that half of the equation? Once you decide how many deer are coming down, what do those deer need?
Well, I mean, I think we all understand that these winter range overlays and the ordinance predate this conversation by 20 years, 15 years, something like that, more. So there really wasn't the telemetry study. They didn't have some of the stuff that we have now to do this. So Grace asked me that earlier, and I went through and tried to dig up some of my old reports and documents we have, and I made some copies, which I can distribute here to the group. I have them right now. You don't have to write that
one.
Oh,
okay. I didn't quite have it at.
The other thing I've done, because I don't have it to the extent that I'd like, I don't have a good answer for you, basically. But I called, I emailed our coordinator for land use issues in Salem to see if she, because a lot of that was sort of statewide recommendations, and to see if maybe there was some, what the rationale was, if we have some documentation.
Yeah, that'd be really helpful for us.
Was it under Senate Bill 100, do you think?
It's a good question, I'm sure, but I think it's
you can have those,
so.
Okay, so I've done I distribute, but there's not enough to distribute.
That seems like
oh, no, I didn't. I'm sorry, I didn't make enough copies.
We can make copies.
Yeah. And Steve, could you provide us, Anne, with your PowerPoint?
I'll email you in the morning, and then you can just email it back to me if that would be, and then that way I can print it off in color, and then I can distribute it for everybody.
Yeah. Okay. Do you have a question?
Yeah.
Okay.
What is the point of the Jackson County ordinance about establishing a house 300 feet from a road or a driveway that goes into another house behind? You know, what is the point of that one?
Well, maybe I'll just take a second and talk about Jackson County's code. They do things a lot different there than has been done here. So they have three different layers. They have their especially sensitive 1 to 160, the sensitive 1 to 40, and then what they call other winter range, which doesn't have any kind of density limitation. They also have some rules about clustering. The idea is with that is that you get everybody to build sort of near the road, and then the backsides of their property are less developed, less impacted by human development. And so there's kind of two parts of their code. There's the clustering of human development, and then there's just the overall density overlay. And so they took a little different approach. Again, it has some pluses and it has some minuses too. One of the things they let people do is if they want to build two dwellings, you can do it, but they have to be within 200 feet of one another. So it's a 1 to 160 unless you build both dwellings within 200 feet.
Hey, Turner, did you have a question? And then, did you have a question, Turner?
Yes. Several. I wonder in your winter samples, were you figuring in snow density?
Well, I've looked at some. You know, the weather data is a little harder to work with than I thought it was going to be because we're looking at a fairly broad area. I've tried to get some weather data from NOAA and map it out, but it's kind of cumbersome to get it all worked out. Yeah.
Also,
Well, we did do one regression analysis, just looking at the amount of distance that, on average, deer from a specific geographic area move compared to the. So that's the Y variable, and then the X variable is the mean elevation during the summer of those deer. Basically, trying to get a look at do deer from higher elevation areas move to lower elevation areas, and. It did somewhat, but it wasn't significant. It was close to significant. It was 0.06. But it did explain, it had an R squared of 75%. So
I'm going to get as many variables as you can go to try and see where the significance is.
Well, yeah, there's problems.
It's hard to design something like that.
Yeah, I did a lot of regression analysis in grad school. Sometimes when you start throwing in different too many variables, you start getting significant models that are just maybe spurious. So you got to. There are some techniques where you can do that, but you got to be a little careful, I think, and really focus in on the variables you want to look at.
I think I'm going to pull a halt to the questioning, and my thought is that if you had some more questions, if the committee or any of you folks have questions, if you could email them to Ann, she could get those to him and get the answers so we can compile that as part of our report. And I think that you may have some questions after you go home and have a chance to think about some of this stuff. So let's plan on that for you folks, or you can go into the planning office and provide the questions to Ann, and she can get those to you if that would work fine.
Steve, is your office in Medford?
Central Point.
And actually, yeah. Closer to White City. We're on the Denton Wildlife Area.
Okay. Yeah. Any other quick questions from the committee? If not, Steve, I want to thank you. I think you did an excellent job.
Very good.
I appreciate you putting this together.
Thank you, everyone.
Okay.
And thank you, too, for the questions. You guys asked some really good questions. Made me think a little more. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to move on. Okay, is there any... We're going to move on to the next item. That was property line. We were talking about that and the issue on the property line adjustments. Is there any questions or comments or thoughts on that?
Well, yeah, I have a point, and that's the... I can't find it now. It's very good. There were three things that Bob had talked about as possible changes, and I can't find it, so I can't see what it was, except for the one that I'm a little concerned about, and that is the...
One of brothers?
Yeah, that's what I'm looking for. The private roads outside of planned unit developments, increase the allowed lots for restricted residential roads from 5 to 10, I think that's great. A lot of divisions for land access by BLM and Forest Service roads. I'm a little concerned about that just because it's a huge broad brush throughout the whole county. There are a lot of roads that are BLM and Forest Service roads that are not county roads that have a lot of pieces of property on them, and I would be hesitant to make that recommendation. I think that it would be maybe wise to say to have them be eligible upon review of the Planning Commission and the Commissioners or something like that, but just automatically say that any properties that are on service by BLM and Forest Service roads be eligible for division. I think that's opening a huge can of worms in terms of...
Could do it.
Yeah.
So.
I agree. Yeah.
Okay. Other questions on property line? That wasn't property line.
Grace. I just don't understand why someone would not want to have the land surveyed with the property line adjustment regardless of the size of the parcel. Does that go into your legal description? You know, any property claims?
You don't have to have a survey for legal description. You don't have to have a survey for a legal description.
Okay.
No.
Oh, they can just do it on paper? Okay.
Any other questions on that, on property lines? Okay, at this time I'm going to move down from subcommittee members. We've pretty much covered the subcommittee on roads, so that's going to be dealt with at our next meeting. Dear Winter Range, we had our discussion today, and Turner Stop Properties, we'll just carry that one. That's been carried forward, and we'll continue to carry it until we get to the final decisions. Article 76, we have the amended report, or recommendations for review, and be prepared to take some action on that in the April meeting. And comments or any other matters from committee members at this time? Any issues?
I would just like anybody that's near Winter Range, I think we should try and have a meeting before the next meeting.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
So that we can come up with our recommendation for the next meeting.
And
so,
can we get back to us before that time? So we have to give, if we have to make our recommendations by next month,
yeah,
we can
meet
like
in a couple
of
weeks.
Yeah, when do you guys
want to meet? We're going to meet within 2 weeks.
Within 2 weeks.
Do you all know who you're on, who's on the committee?
What did I commit to here?
Okay, Tommy Bridges Drive Land. More sensitive areas. From the PowerPoint presentation. Elevation differences, the summer routes, you mentioned about that. Acreage, Gordy and myself asked about that. I don't know why I wrote over.
Overlay. Okay, why don't you guys get together after the meeting?
Write that down.
That's an
important factor.
Okay, any other matters that we need to be brought before this August body? Mr. Frick.
I think one of the most significant things that faces Josephine County and we're the Land Use Advisory Committee is the current failed intersection at exit 61 so that we could get the sewer and water finished in Mount Valley Industrial Park, because without having that industrial park to have as shovel ready for businesses to come to the area, it's a major concern to me, especially being a realtor. Because what are you going to sell some new company that's coming into the area if they don't have the sewer infrastructure finished there? And they can't finish that sewer infrastructure until that exit 61 is is visited. And RVAC's going to have their meeting coming up, I believe it's on the 8th of March. And I would like to make a motion that we as a group send a letter that states that we feel that it's very important that if they're not going to be using that money out on 199, you know, because of the dispute going on over the city not wanting the $5 million to be used on that particular roadway, that RVAC consider using it on exit 61 so that we can at least have some economic development in this area for the future.
Second the motion.
So what's the motion?
I can't remember.
The motion was for this committee to send a letter.
Send a letter to RVAC.
Well, I think it needs to go to the Board of County Commissioners.
Okay, Board of County Commissioners. Whoever it needs to go to, we need to send a letter and say that we feel that if that money is going to be lost in this county, it's $5 million, that we'd sure like to see it stay and go to exit 61 so at least we'd have a chance for economic development utilizing the roadway improvement at exit 61.
So the letter you're asking this committee to indicate to the Board of Commissioners that we recommend that they support the use or the maintaining of the $4.2 million.
Whatever the amount
of 199 project to be maintained or left in Justin County for the exit 61 project.
That's correct. If we're not going to use it on 199, then let's use it at exit 61.
I guess the question I have is what local ordinances are holding us up on that exit 61? Is there any particular ordinance or?
No, I think it's a monetary one.
It's a three-lane intersection.
It's state property. Yeah. And I understand because I live out there. Nobody can move into that industrial park until that intersection is.
Basically a moratorium.
It's a moratorium right now, and Fleming School right now is over capacity with their sewage.
Have been for years.
And I think it's just an obligation of our group, if we were going to do anything beneficial through this Land Use Advisory Committee, we could at least help in that capacity.
And stress our high unemployment and, our low economic status relative to the rest of the state.
I'm going to go back to the motion again. The motion would be to recommend to the Board of County Commissioners
that they request
that the $4.2 million of state dollars to be utilized for the 199 project remain in Josephine County to be used for the exit 61.
If it's not used
on 199.
Yeah, it's not used on 199.
Basically, my understanding is not going to. I think the whole city and county are not going to.
They were going to take it back into Jackson County and use it over.
No, I think okay. That's what they're
going to
use on 199.
Oh, on the...
Between the college and...
Okay, so before we get into discussion, I had a motion.
And a second.
Mm-hmm. And now we'll open it for discussion. Discussion, comments, questions. Gordon?
Well, I think it's a good idea, and I'll vote for it, but quite honestly, it's not really part of our assignment as this committee.
It doesn't mean we can't do it.
Here's how the process actually is going to work. Is if in fact, they do turn down and both the city and the county do not do the 199 project, or say they're not willing to do that, or they're sticking with their option A of the week. The money then will not necessarily go back to RVAC. It sits in a pool somewhere. RVAC then has to make a recommendation to the Transportation Commission, and it's the Transportation Commission that then will determine where that money is going to go. And so it's critical that RVAC does make a recommendation. Just keep it at the local level because that's how the Transportation Commission looks at it. The counties and the cities can't go directly to the Transportation Commission and ask for it under the way the laws are set out now. So that's the only mechanism at this point. And quite frankly, we don't know how much money is going to be left in the pot anyway based upon some of the cuts that are going on at the federal level and the state level. But any more discussion on the letter, and do you want it signed by me or do you want it signed by the whole committee?
I think signed by you as the chair representing this committee.
We can do that. If you want, I'll send a copy of it out so you can see it before I do anything with it, so that if you see that I just overstepped my bounds or did didn't cover what you felt it should be in there. That it,
if you asked for the check to be made out to you, or is it?
Yeah. And mailed to some unknown area. Yeah. Any other comment or question, discussion on that motion?
What's the estimated cost to include the $61 million?
That's depending on how they do, what they do to fix it. I mean, there are other possible fixes that may not cost the same amount of money. Yeah. Okay, if there's no additional discussion, then all those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? Motion is unanimous. Any other matters from commission members? Not? Okay, at this time we do have an opportunity for members of the public, if they have a comment or a question they can bring up, and would allow you three minutes. Anybody from the public that would have a question? You need to give us your name and address, because we are.
Harry Ashley, 105 Jack Creek Road in Grants Pass.
Mm-hmm.
As interesting as I found Steve's PowerPoint, and I did, the committee, it seems to me, is trying to designate whether or not development should occur in some of the deer winter range areas that are below 2,500 feet, and which is now designated as 32 dwellings for 2 radius miles. So the question is, can we increase that number, which will open up development and allow the county to prosper? Since the original designation took place around 50 years ago, without any real science behind it in terms of how they came up with the original number. So we're trying to move the ball forward to say, we really don't have any science saying it's adversely really affecting the deer population at 32. Can we, for instance, go to 50, which would increase a lot of lots that are undevelopable right now by virtue of this designated area of development?
I think what I heard him say is that they will react to or comment on any recommendations that would be made, and if the committee makes, say somebody from the committee decides that that's a recommendation they would want to send to the Board of County Commissioners, that's what would go before the board, and then they in turn would send it to the Planning Commission, and then the Planning Commission would review that, and that's the process. And I think at that point in time is they're going to get into the discussion on it.
But
so there is opportunities, I guess, for making recommended changes to the specific numbers that they've laid out.
But in other words, this study that was done doesn't really change whether that area of designation, whether 32 lots per 2 radius miles, that didn't answer the question as to whether that amount has any relevance to the health and of the deer population at the elevations in which we're talking about.
Right. And no, this study wasn't designed to do that. You need a much different study to do that. But I don't want to drive your... I mean, I'm happy to talk to more, but I don't want to... It sounds like you're on a timetable and there's other people to comment. But basically, the study that I did does not address the impact of a certain level of residential development on the area carrying capacity, is what you're getting at. So, you know, I just show where deer, I mean, like I said, you put some collars on some deer and you watch where they go. We can put a lot of fancy graphs, but that's basically what we did. It doesn't address questions bigger than that. There is research in other areas that other people have done that look at that, but it's a pretty tricky question, you know.
And the fact is that when they made this designation at the time, they had no real research to use to say 32 lots, 32 dwellings per 2 race miles, 50. I mean, it was something that someone came up with, but there was no real science behind that designation.
Well, yeah, that's very likely the case. That's one of the things I've got here to find out, is what was the history of that, if we can find it out. So I'll have more information for you, hopefully, by the time you guys meet again. But I would say that, you know, everything we do, and you guys trying to pick out codes and different things, sometimes you have science to go on, sometimes you have to make a decision with the best information you have, and that's what they did. It may not have been our ideal. What I've done is not our ideal, you know, but... You know, hopefully you can use it where it's relevant and, like you said, move it forward. But, you know, one way or another, you've got to make a call. And leaving the ordinance alone is still making a decision. You know, whatever you do, you're basing it on the best knowledge you have.
Okay, thank you. Yes, sir.
Hello.
Need to identify yourself. And
David McAllister, 9244 North Applegate Road. I think the study was really inconclusive, or whatever you call it, because you hit a few spots with a few deer, and I think that the study just wasn't really big enough to show the real evidence. And then, like, you didn't go down Galice area or anything, and so the study needs to be expanded in that, for my view. But
I can't argue with you. I'd love to get more callers up there.
No question.
Okay.
That's why I wondered if you
need to identify yourself.
Oh, thanks, Scott. That's whether you could have wrapped in some of the Jackson County data,
depending on the type of questions.
It's a far bigger sample.
It is.
But I don't know whether it would answer those particular questions.
It probably would be if you're a little more on the street. But that wasn't my research project, so I've been a little uneasy to go and conduct analysis with it. But I could talk to the researcher that did it and see if we could do something like that. That's a good idea.
Somebody sent out an email.
Okay, any other citizen? Anything else? We still have 4 minutes.
Come on, girl.
It is valid, I tell you. I'm already in deep duty. Okay, our next meeting is on in March. Fourth? Yeah. I don't know what I did
Probably March.
No, I don't think you want to hear that. There's no running water. Next meeting is March 14th. Here at 6 o'clock. Our agenda item will include action items for both the public road condition, road standards, and the deer winter range. And anything else that we may have coming up. And I'm assuming we'll probably have a planning director. But stay tuned.
Planning director's name is David
Wechner. Wechner.
The change, though. That was a different name. Okay. We're adjourned.